Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present Mexico Episode 2, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 5, The Spanish Conquest, 1519 to 1521 CE. The Fall of the Aztec Empire and the Birth of New Spain. Introduction, A Collision of Worlds. For nearly two centuries, the Aztecs, Mexica, had ruled Mesoamerica with an iron grip. Their military prowess, vast tribute system, and religious devotion to Huitzilopochtli had made them the dominant force of their time. They had defeated countless rivals, expanded their empire to the Pacific and the Gulf of Mexico, and built Tenochtitlan, one of the greatest cities in the world. But in 1519, their destiny was rewritten. An army of only 600 men, led by Hernan Cortes, arrived on the shores of Veracruz, carrying steel weapons, gunpowder, horses, and European diseases. The Aztecs had faced many enemies, but never anything like this. This chapter tells the epic story of betrayal, siege, and bloodshed, a struggle that would bring the Aztec Empire to its knees and give birth to New Spain. 5.1 The arrival of Hernan Cortes, 1519. The man who would change history. Hernan Cortes was not supposed to be in Mexico. In 1518, the Spanish governor of Cuba, Diego Velázquez, authorized an expedition to explore the mysterious mainland. But when Velázquez realized that Cortes was too ambitious, he canceled the mission. Cortes ignored the order, stole ships, and sailed westward with 600 men, 16 horses, and a handful of cannons. When he landed in Veracruz in April 1519, he had one goal: conquer new lands for Spain and claim their wealth. First contact with the indigenous peoples. Cortes quickly realized that the Aztec Empire was feared by many. The first indigenous people he met, the Totonacs, were forced to pay heavy tribute to the Aztecs. Cortes allied with them, promising to overthrow the Mexica rulers. Then he met La Malinche, a Nahua noblewoman given to the Spanish as a slave. Fluent in both Maya and Nahuatl, she became Cortes' translator, advisor, and lover. Without her, Cortes could never have navigated the political complexities of Mesoamerica. With Totonac allies and La Malinche's guidance, Cortes marched inland, toward the empire that would change the world. 5.2 The alliance with Tlaxcala, 1519. The enemy of my enemy. As Cortes moved through the Valley of Mexico, he encountered Tlaxcala, an independent city-state that had long resisted Aztec rule. The Tlaxcalans first attacked the Spanish, but when they saw Spanish steel, horses, and firearms, they surrendered and allied with Cortes. The Tlaxcalans hated the Aztecs. For decades, the Mexica had raided their lands, capturing thousands for human sacrifice. Now they saw the Spanish as a means to destroy their oppressors. This alliance would be the turning point in the conquest. The Tlaxcalans provided thousands of warriors, food, and intelligence about Aztec military weaknesses. With a growing army, Cortes marched toward the heart of the empire, Tenochtitlan. 5.3 Entering Tenochtitlan, the City of Wonders, November 1519. Moctezuma's fatal decision. By November 1519, Cortes arrived at the gates of Tenochtitlan. What he saw shocked him. A city larger than any in Spain, built on an island, connected by massive causeways. Markets filled with gold, silver, and exotic goods. Temples rising high above the streets, dedicated to the gods. Moctezuma II, the Aztec emperor, had a choice: fight or negotiate. Haunted by the prophecy of Quetzalcoatl's return, Moctezuma hesitated. Instead of attacking the Spanish, he welcomed them into his palace. Moctezuma treated Cortes as an honored guest, offering gold, gifts, and feasts, a fatal mistake. The betrayal. Once inside, Cortes quickly took Moctezuma hostage, holding him under house arrest. The Spanish ruled through him, forcing him to command his people to obey the invaders. but the Aztecs' patience was wearing thin. 5.4 The massacre at the Great Temple, May 1520. A bloodbath begins. In May 1520, while Cortes was away dealing with Spanish reinforcements, his second-in-command, Pedro de Alvarado, made a fatal decision. During a sacred festival at the Great Temple, Alvarado's men attacked the unarmed dancers, slaughtering nobles, priests, and civilians. Blood ran down the temple steps as Spanish swords cut through the heart of Aztec culture. The people of Tenochtitlan erupted in rage. When Cortes returned, the city was in open rebellion. The death of Moctezuma. Desperate to restore order, Cortes forced Moctezuma to address his people. But instead of listening, the angry crowd threw stones at him, calling him a traitor. Moctezuma was struck in the head and died days later. With their emperor dead and Tenochtitlan in flames, the Spanish were trapped. 5.5 La Noche Triste. The Night of Sorrows, June 1520. The Spanish flee. On the night of June 30, 1520, the Spanish tried to escape the city under cover of darkness. As they crossed the causeways, Aztec warriors attacked from canoes, rooftops, and bridges. Thousands of Spanish soldiers and their indigenous allies were killed or captured. Cortes himself barely escaped, wounded and devastated. He wept beneath a tree, mourning the loss of his men. This night would be remembered as La Noche Triste, the Night of Sorrows. But Cortes was not finished. 5.6 The Final Siege of Tenochtitlan, May, August 1521. The Aztec Resistance. Despite their victory, the Aztecs were weakened. Smallpox, brought by the Spanish, had devastated the population, killing thousands, including the new emperor, Cuitlahuac. The Spanish regrouped in Tlaxcala, building boats to attack Tenochtitlan from the lake. Cortes returned with 100,000 indigenous allies and sieged the city for 80 days. The fall of Tenochtitlan, August 13, 1521. The final battle was brutal. Aztec warriors fought to the last breath, but starvation and disease had crippled the city. The Spanish destroyed the causeways, temples, and aqueducts, cutting off water and food. On August 13, 1521, the last Aztec emperor, Cuauhtémoc, was captured. The city fell, marking the end of the Aztec Empire. 5.7 The Aftermath. The Birth of New Spain, 1521-1535. With Tenochtitlan in ruins, the Spanish erased the Aztec world. Temples were destroyed, replaced with churches. The Mexica elite were executed or enslaved. Mexico was renamed New Spain, ruled by the Spanish crown. But the spirit of the Aztecs survived, in traditions, languages, and the bloodlines of millions of modern Mexicans. Chapter 6, Colonial Mexico and the Rise of New Spain, 1521-1810. 3 centuries of conquest, oppression, and transformation. Introduction, a new world forged in fire. On August 13, 1521, the mighty Aztec Empire fell, and the once glorious city of Tenochtitlan lay in ruins. What followed was not merely conquest, it was the birth of an entirely new world. The Spanish, under the banner of the Habsburg monarchy, sought to transform Mesoamerica into New Spain, a colony ruled by European elites, fueled by indigenous labor, and shaped by Catholicism, commerce, and control. For nearly 3 centuries, colonial Mexico was a land of paradox, great wealth and crushing poverty, cultural fusion and brutal exploitation, grand cathedrals and fields soaked in blood. This chapter delves into the complex, often dark, history of New Spain, from the first viceroy's rule to the seeds of rebellion that would ignite Mexico's War of Independence. 6.1 The Foundations of New Spain, 1521-1600. Cortes, the first governor of Mexico. With the Aztecs defeated, Hernán Cortés wasted no time consolidating his rule. He declared himself governor of New Spain and ruled from the ruins of Tenochtitlan. He ordered the construction of Mexico City, built on the ashes of the Aztec capital. He redistributed land to Spanish conquerors and comenderos and forced indigenous people into servitude. But his power was short-lived. In 1528, he was removed from office by the Spanish crown, which feared his growing influence. The encomienda system, a new form of slavery. To ensure Spanish dominance, the monarchy implemented the encomienda system, which granted Spanish settlers control over indigenous labor in exchange for converting them to Christianity. Indigenous people were forced to work on farms, mines, and haciendas under brutal conditions. While the Spanish justified encomienda as a way to civilize the natives, in reality, it was a system of exploitation. Millions of indigenous people died due to disease, malnutrition, and overwork. By the late 1500s, the indigenous population had plummeted from 20 million to less than 2 million due to smallpox, measles, and European violence. The role of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church became the most powerful institution in New Spain, rivaling even the Spanish government. Franciscan, Dominican, and Jesuit missionaries flooded Mexico, seeking to convert indigenous peoples. Catholicism was imposed by force, often destroying indigenous temples and replacing them with churches. Syncretism developed, blending native beliefs with Christianity, e.g., the Virgin of Guadalupe, who became a national symbol. The church controlled education, hospitals, land, and even courts, becoming a pillar of colonial rule. 6.2 The economy of New Spain, silver and sugar, 1600 to 1750. The silver boom. By the 1600s, Mexico had become the economic heart of the Spanish Empire, and silver was its lifeblood. Massive silver mines in Zacatecas, Guanajuato, and Tlaxcala made Spain the richest nation in the world. Indigenous and African slaves worked under horrific conditions, with mercury poisoning killing thousands. Most of the silver was shipped to Spain or used in trade with China and the Philippines. Haciendas, the rise of landed elites. Alongside mining, agriculture expanded through haciendas, massive plantations owned by Spanish elites. Crops like sugar, cacao, and corn were grown using forced labor. Many indigenous workers were trapped in debt peonage, making them virtual slaves. A rigid caste system ensured that only Spaniards controlled land and wealth. 6.3 The colonial caste system, race and power in New Spain. New Spain was a deeply racist society, with strict racial hierarchies dictating who could own land, govern, and even wear certain clothing. Peninsulars, Spaniards born in Spain, held top positions in government and the church. Criollos, Spaniards born in New Spain, wealthy but denied political power. Mestizos, mixed-race people, Spanish plus indigenous. Many were artisans, soldiers, or small farmers. Indigenous peoples, the original inhabitants, forced into tribute and labor. Africans, enslaved people brought from West Africa, used in sugar plantations and mining. This racial hierarchy created growing resentment, especially among Criollos, who would later lead the independence movement. 6.4 Rebellions and resistance, 1750 to 1810. As the 18th century progressed, cracks began to form in Spanish rule. Indigenous uprisings. The Pueblo Revolt, 1680. Indigenous people in New Mexico temporarily expelled the Spanish. The Tzeltal Rebellion, 1712. A Maya uprising against Catholic missionaries and Spanish rule. The Mixtan War, an attempt by indigenous warriors to resist forced labor. Criollo discontent. By the late 1700s, Criollos, Mexican-born Spaniards, were frustrated with being excluded from government. They were wealthy, educated, and powerful, but treated as inferior to Spaniards born in Europe. The ideas of the Enlightenment, liberty, democracy, and human rights spread among them. The American Revolution, 1776, and French Revolution, 1789, inspired them to seek independence. 6.5 The Bourbon Reforms, the spark of revolution, 1780 to 1810. In an attempt to tighten control over New Spain, the Spanish crown, now ruled by the Bourbon dynasty, implemented major reforms. Increased taxes, crushing farmers and merchants. Expelled the Jesuits, 1767. Weakening indigenous education and resistance. Military reforms, establishing a local army that would later turn against Spain. These policies angered all classes, from wealthy Criollos to indigenous farmers, and set the stage for revolution. 6.6 The beginning of the Mexican War of Independence, 1810. On September 16, 1810, Miguel Hidalgo, a Criollo priest, rang the bells of his church in Dolores, Guanajuato, and called for rebellion against Spanish rule. This moment, known as El Grito de Dolores, marked the beginning of Mexico's struggle for independence. Hidalgo led an army of mestizos and indigenous rebels against Spanish forces. Other leaders, like José María Morelos, took up the fight after Hidalgo's execution. The war would rage for 11 years, culminating in Mexico's independence in 1821. Chapter 7. The War for Mexican Independence, 1810 to 1821. The Struggle for Freedom, from Rebellion to Revolution. Introduction, A Nation Awakens. For nearly 300 years, New Spain had been a land of colonial oppression, rigid caste systems, and Spanish dominance. Wealth flowed to Madrid, while indigenous people, mestizos, and criollos lived under increasingly oppressive conditions. By the early 19th century, discontent had reached a boiling point. Inspired by the American Revolution, 1776, the French Revolution, 1789, and the Enlightenment, many in New Spain began to question why a distant king should rule over them. The war for Mexican independence was not a single, unified movement. It was a series of uprisings, betrayals, and shifting alliances that unfolded over 11 years. This is the story of priests turned revolutionaries, armies of farmers and peasants, brutal repressions, and an unexpected victory. 7.1 The Spark of Revolution. El Grito de Dolores, 1810. Miguel Hidalgo, the rebel priest. The first cry for independence came not from a soldier or a politician, but from a Catholic priest, Father Miguel Hidalgo y Costilla. Born in 1753, Hidalgo was a criollo, Mexican-born Spaniard, and a highly educated Jesuit-trained scholar. He became a priest in Dolores, Guanajuato, where he promoted economic reforms and literacy among indigenous people. He saw the injustices of Spanish rule firsthand: the forced labor, the land inequality, and the heavy taxation. By 1810, Hidalgo, along with other criollo leaders, was secretly planning an armed rebellion against Spain. The cry for freedom, September 16, 1810. On the night of September 15, 1810, Spanish authorities discovered the independence plot and moved to arrest Hidalgo and his co-conspirators. Realizing they had no choice but to act, Hidalgo rang the church bells of Dolores at dawn on September 16, 1810, gathering his congregation. Standing before a crowd of indigenous villagers, mestizos, and farmers, he called for rebellion, uttering the words that would change history. Viva la Virgen de Guadalupe. Muerte al mal gobierno. Viva Mexico. Long live the Virgin of Guadalupe. Death to bad government. Long live Mexico. This moment, known as El Grito de Dolores, marked the official beginning of the Mexican War of Independence. 7.2 The First Revolutionary Army, 1810 to 1811. Hidalgo's march to Mexico City. Hidalgo's army grew rapidly, swelling from a few hundred to nearly 80,000 in just weeks. The rebels were mostly poor farmers, miners, and indigenous laborers, armed with machetes, slings, and farm tools. They captured cities across central Mexico, including Guanajuato, Valladolid, and Guadalajara. Hidalgo carried the banner of the Virgin of Guadalupe, using Catholicism as a unifying symbol. The massacre at Guanajuato. One of the bloodiest battles occurred in Guanajuato, where Spanish loyalists barricaded themselves inside the granary, Alhandiga de Granaditas. The rebel army, driven by vengeance, stormed the granary and massacred the Spanish elite. This horrified many wealthy criollos, causing them to withdraw support for Hidalgo's cause. Defeat and execution. Despite early victories, Hidalgo lacked military strategy. In January 1811, his army suffered a massive defeat at the Battle of Calleja. He was captured, defrocked by the church, and executed by firing squad on July 30, 1811. Though Hidalgo was dead, his revolution was far from over. 7.3 José María Morelos, the Strategist, 1811 to 1815. The Rise of Morelos. After Hidalgo's death, leadership passed to another priest, José María Morelos y Pavón, a brilliant military strategist. Morelos organized a disciplined army and abolished slavery in rebel-controlled areas. Unlike Hidalgo, he sought a true national government, not just rebellion. The Constitution of Apatzingan, 1814. In 1814, Morelos' forces declared Mexico's first constitution, establishing Catholicism as the national religion, equal rights for all Mexicans, ending racial caste distinctions, a call for an independent, democratic Mexico. Morelos' execution. By 1815, Spanish forces captured Morelos. He was executed on December 22, 1815. But his movement inspired a new generation of revolutionaries. 7.4 The Guerrilla War, 1815 to 1820. For the next 5 years, the war turned into a guerrilla conflict. Rebel leaders like Vicente Guerrero and Guadalupe Victoria fought using hit-and-run tactics. The Spanish maintained control of major cities, but rural Mexico was in open rebellion. Spain, weakened by Napoleon's wars in Europe, struggled to maintain its grip on New Spain. 7.5 The Final Victory, Iturbide and Guerrero, 1820 to 1821, the unexpected alliance. By 1820, Spain faced a crisis. A liberal revolution in Madrid forced the Spanish king to restore the 1812 constitution, reducing the monarchy's power. Fearing this would weaken their privileges, conservative criollos in Mexico switched sides and supported independence. The Plan of Iguala, 1821. In February 1821, Agustin de Iturbide, a former Spanish general, met with Vicente Guerrero, the last major revolutionary leader. Together, they created the Plan of Iguala, which established Mexico as an independent nation, Catholicism as the official religion, a constitutional monarchy, with a European king or a Mexican emperor. This united royalists and rebels under one cause, the end of Spanish rule. On September 27, 1821, Iturbide's army of the Three Guarantees marched into Mexico City, and the last Spanish viceroy surrendered. New Spain was no more. The independent nation of Mexico was born. 7.6 The aftermath, a fragile independence. While Mexico was now free, its future was uncertain. Iturbide crowned himself emperor, leading to his downfall in 1823. Mexico struggled with political instability, facing internal wars, foreign invasions, and economic collapse. The fight for true democracy and justice was only just beginning. Chapter 8, The Struggles of Early Mexico, 1821 to 1855. From Empire to Republic, The Birth Pains of a Nation. Introduction, The Aftermath of Independence. After 11 years of bloody war, Mexico had won its independence from Spain in 1821, but freedom did not bring stability. Instead, the newly formed nation faced political chaos, economic struggles, and external threats that nearly tore it apart. The next three decades would be marked by internal conflicts between monarchists and republicans, foreign interventions from Spain, France, and the United States, the rise of Santa Anna, a man who would dominate Mexican politics for years. This chapter tells the tumultuous story of Mexico's early years, from Iturbide's brief empire to the birth of the Mexican Republic, and the struggles that nearly dissolved the nation before it could truly begin. 8.1 The Iturbide Empire, 1821 to 1823. The short-lived emperor. After leading the final victory against Spain, Agustin de Iturbide crowned himself Emperor of Mexico in 1822, declaring, "Mexico needs a strong ruler to maintain unity." But his reign was doomed from the start. Why Iturbide's empire failed? Financial ruin. The war had left Mexico bankrupt. Political division. Many Mexicans wanted a republic, not a monarchy. Revolt in the provinces. Many regions, including Central America, refused to recognize his rule. By 1823, opposition grew, and Iturbide was forced to abdicate. He fled to Europe but returned in 1824, hoping to reclaim power. Instead, he was captured and executed. The Mexican Empire was dead. The country now had to decide. What next? 8.2 The First Mexican Republic, 1824 to 1835, creating a new government. With Iturbide gone, Mexico adopted its first constitution in 1824, establishing a federal republic similar to the United States. The country was divided into states, each with its own governor. The Catholic Church remained powerful, but democracy was introduced. The first president, Guadalupe Victoria, took office. A nation divided. Despite the new government, Mexico was deeply divided. Liberals versus conservatives. Liberals wanted a weak central government, land reforms, and reduced church power. Conservatives wanted a strong central government, close ties with the Catholic Church, and traditional rule. Regional conflicts. Many states resisted control from Mexico City. Yucatan and Texas threatened to separate from the country. The rise of Santa Anna. In 1833, a new leader emerged, Antonio López de Santa Anna, a charismatic but unpredictable general. First hailed as a hero of independence, Santa Anna would become known as Mexico's most controversial leader. Over the next 30 years, he would switch sides, become president multiple times, and ultimately betray the country. 8.3 The Texas Rebellion and the Loss of the North, 1835 to 1836. Why Texas rebelled? By 1830, thousands of American settlers, Anglos, had moved into Texas, then part of Mexico. But tensions grew. Mexico outlawed slavery in 1829, angering American settlers. Santa Anna became a dictator, abolishing state governments and ruling with an iron fist. Texans declared independence in 1836, led by Sam Houston and Stephen F. Austin. The Alamo and the Texas War. Santa Anna led an army to crush the rebellion, resulting in the Battle of the Alamo. March 1836, Santa Anna's troops killed nearly 200 Texan defenders at the Alamo. April 1836, the Texans defeated Santa Anna at the Battle of San Jacinto, forcing him to surrender Texas. By the end of 1836, Texas was lost, becoming an independent republic. This was a humiliating defeat for Mexico, but worse losses were yet to come. 8.4 Foreign Invasions and the Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848. Mexico's weakness on the world stage. By the 1840s, Mexico was politically unstable and economically weak. The United States, led by President James K. Polk, saw an opportunity to expand its territory. The U.S. declares war. In 1846, after border disputes in Texas, the United States invaded Mexico, sparking the Mexican-American War. American troops captured California, New Mexico, and northern Mexico. Santa Anna returned to power, but his military failures led to more defeats. By 1847, U.S. troops had invaded Mexico City. The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, 1848. Mexico was forced to surrender and sign the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which resulted in Mexico losing nearly half its territory, including California, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, and parts of Colorado and Wyoming. The U.S. paying Mexico $15 million, but this did little to fix Mexico's economic problems. This was one of the greatest territorial losses in Mexican history, fueling anger and resentment that still lingers today. 8.5 Santa Anna's final betrayal, 1853 to 1855. After the war, Santa Anna seized power again in 1853, declaring himself dictator for life. He sold more Mexican land, the Gadsden Purchase, to the U.S. in 1854. He raised taxes, enraging the people. He lived in luxury while the country suffered. In 1855, the people had enough. Santa Anna was overthrown and exiled, ending his disastrous political career. 8.6 The Rise of the Reformists, 1855 to 1857. The Age of Reform begins. After Santa Anna's fall, a new generation of liberal leaders took control, including Benito Juarez, a Zapotec indigenous leader who would later become president. The new government passed the Constitution of 1857, which weakened the Catholic Church's power, ended military privileges, promised democratic reforms. However, these changes would lead to a new civil war, known as the Reform War, 1857 to 1861.